Looking for a guiding hand in your Amazon business? Wizards of Ecom Academy is here for you. Our personalized support system includes unlimited email access to myself and my entire team to help you overcome challenges and strategize effectively. Sign up for an exclusive rate at wizardsofecom.com/academy. Your personal e-commerce coach awaits.
Welcome to the Wizards of Ecom, your no-fluff playbook for online success. Each episode is fully packed with actionable tactics you can implement in your business right now. Take your life to a higher level and excel in your online success. It's time to work on you and your business. Let's do this.
So hi, everyone. Welcome to Wizards of Ecom. My name is Noemi, and I'll be your host. Here we have Elizabeth Green, Amazon marketing strategist and founder of Jungler. Elizabeth, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm super excited. This will be fun.
Super excited to have you on the show. And I'm super excited that I actually found your podcast. Not podcast, your YouTube channel. And I love it. And I watch all your videos.
Oh, thank you.
So amazing. And that's actually the main reason why I wanted to have you on the show, because I personally, as a new seller, didn't like to use bulk uploads, you know, and I was like, oh, I will do it manually and it's going to take just a bit of time. In fact, now that I use bulk uploads, I realize how much time I just wasted, you know? So that's why I wanted to have you on the show, basically to talk on two main topics. Like, one of them would be, what are bulk uploads, how they can be used to optimize your time and to optimize your bids. And also the second part, it would be, what are your go-to tips to or formulas or whatever you have that can help other sellers as well, just to strategize better their ads?
Okay. So yeah, sounds good.
Amazing. So then what are PPC, when it comes to PPC management, what are bulk files and where can you access them basically?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so bulk files, I often describe it as a 2D look at all of your ads across your entire account. I think the hardest thing when it comes to new sellers and getting into bulk files is understanding the formatting, because formatting is very correctly. And when I say formatting, it just means like what columns and rows do things need to be placed in, and then based on the columns and rows, like what do they even mean? And so I think that's why I started putting out a lot of content in bulk files, because when I got started, there was other people making content in bulk files. I'm not the first, I'm not the only one to learn bulk files, but I found it, if it was there, it was very buried, or there was a little bit here and a little bit there, and you can learn them, but there's a learning curve. And so I'm kind of putting out the content that beginner me wish I had in the beginning, you know, so hopefully it can help with the learning curve for everyone else. But yeah, so it basically bulk files, it's your entire account viewed in a spreadsheet, which is amazing. The one caveat to that is that you will not see sponsored display ads, unfortunately, but those should make up such a smaller portion of your account. You should be fine without viewing that. But as you can see, the benefit when you start to think about an ad account, when you're smaller, you know, if you only have a couple of campaigns, to be honest, there are some things that are quicker to do it manually. You know, if you only have one auto to launch, if you have something very quick, you know, it might be quicker just to go into the interface. But once you start getting a lot of campaigns, if you start building out products and then you're trying to figure out what's where and where did I put that keyword, and okay, now I have, you know, 20 different campaigns and you have to adjust bids for every single one of them. Every single one, you have to click into the campaign. You got to click into the ad group, then you got to find your bids, and then you got to click on every single bid. Some of them you can get away with selecting all of them and doing a bulk adjustment. But honestly, the more granular you can get with bid adjustments, the better you're going to see performance. And that requires a lot of manual labor if you're doing it inside of Campaign Manager, where if you can get a spreadsheet, you can change cells in a spreadsheet. And if you are familiar with spreadsheets at all, you know that they're wonderful for doing equations, which is very, very helpful when you're adjusting bids, because your bid should be adjusted based on some sort of data feedback. So if you can leverage the power of a spreadsheet coupled with, you know, putting that towards your advertising, you can see how, you know, it starts to get really effective when it comes to optimizing your ads.
Good. You're preaching. You're describing me. Imagine doing that. But whatever you were describing with 300 campaigns for one product, that was me. So it took hours and hours and hours. And it's like, you know, exactly as you're describing, I think what was disturbing, or I don't know, I was afraid. I was afraid because I knew that I don't know Excel, first off. And also I was like thinking like it's easier to just go there into campaigns, just open them up and whatever, and just like do manually adjustment, when it's like, it's not. It's really not, and it's way more time consuming. So exactly, yeah. As I was saying, just preach.
Yes, I find myself, even if you're going to click on the things, at some point you even end up with, I think, optimization fatigue, where at the end of it, even if you are inside a campaign manager, I mean, of course, you're trying to make the most logical decisions. But at the end of it, sometimes you're not even making logical decisions because you're like, I'll just lower them by 10%. It's good enough. And, you know, that's not something you should be doing. So you can definitely circumvent that if you get into something like bulk files.
Yeah, definitely. And also, as you were mentioning, just to add there, not only that, but I think that also you, if you have like a target ACoS, it's a bit harder to calculate if you don't have exactly, okay, this is the bid. I cannot go higher. I cannot go lower. If this is my target ACoS, I cannot do anything, right? So just exactly what you were saying. All right. So we talked about bulk files. We kind of know now what bulk files are. Where can we download them, or where can we find them?
Yeah, so if you go into any ad account, on the left-hand side, you will have the pop-out menu. You will see something you can click. I'm going to say it's bulk files. If you go there on the left-hand side, you can do what we're calling requesting a bulk file. So there is a tab. There will be a drop-down with a couple different options for date ranges. You can do default date ranges, 30 days. I think it's like 7 days. Or you can select a custom range. For instance, if you're like, you wanted to view all of your ads over a certain time frame, you know, that's helpful. And then the other thing, if you are going to be requesting a bulk file, you want to make sure you do is right underneath that, there is a checkbox that by default is checked. It says campaign, I think it's campaign manager items with zero impressions. So if that is checked, what's going to happen is anything that has zero impressions within whatever date ranges it is you selected for your file will not appear in your files. So if you're going through and you're like, I swear I had more keywords than this, it's probably because they have no impressions and you forgot to uncheck the box. So just make sure you're unchecking that. There are a couple other boxes that are checked that are perfectly fine to leave. But the zero impression one, definitely one that you probably want to uncheck, because if you want to say, hey, what are all my what are all my keywords that have no impressions in my account? Maybe you want to raise the bids or at least analyze those. You're going to want to make sure you can view it and it's contained in the file.
Yeah, by the way, I love that you specify that most of the time, as you were mentioning, that everyone is putting out content, but it's not either. It's very, very down out there. It's not the right content. Most people won't mention that. You have to uncheck that, you know, and then like, where are my campaigns? You know, like so many keywords and I have no, like what's going on? So yeah, I love that. All right. So you were mentioning also timeframes, something that my personal struggle with, timeframes, 7 days, 30 days, customized. Which are the most favorite ones, and how or when would you suggest them to use?
Yeah. So that, I think that's really important when it comes to bulk files. So the one drawback to bulk files, and in my opinion, kind of the only drawback, is the fact that whatever data is contained in your account will only be whatever date ranges you've selected. So therefore, getting your date ranges is pretty important, especially when it comes to like optimizing your bids. So we use several different date ranges when it comes to bid optimizations. I can tell you what we use right now. So currently in our agency, we look at past 14 days, and then we also look at past 30 days. And we do that on a weekly basis. We routinely pull both of those date ranges. So you kind of have to navigate that again, because the file contains whatever date ranges, data on whatever date ranges you've downloaded. So if you are, say, only looking at the past 7 days, and maybe you have a lot of things with clicks with no sales within the past 30 days, then, you know, you could end up missing things. If you pull date ranges that are really long, in the past, they could be working very well. We've all seen those keywords where like, oh my goodness, everything's phenomenal, and suddenly within the last 7 days, things really didn't work. Or if you're looking at maybe a longer date range, then just based on seeing in the file and that data, you're like, oh my goodness, this is working phenomenal. Let me increase the bids. When in reality, that probably isn't the best course of action, because you know, you want to be sensitive to changes, but you also want to make sure you have enough data to make those decisions. So there's pros and cons. We found that typically, you know, generally an account that we're continuously optimizing, we find the last 14 days to have enough data while still being recent enough to make those changes. And that's the time frame we choose when we're doing like our routine updates, so our routine tweaks of the entire account. However, we have found it beneficial to look at past 30 days and possibly even 60 days is the longest date range you could pull in a bulk file. So you can take a look at the last 60 days. And we're looking for specifically for keywords that are not working for us, that are bleeding out, that are costing us money. Because you will find those keywords in any account that in a 14-day period, they might only get, say, 5 clicks, 7 clicks. But then if you're looking at 30 days, suddenly you have 20 clicks and you're not getting any sales from it, you probably should look at turning those down. So that's why we pull a longer date range here. So if we find if we routinely look at these both, then we have, you know, the best benefit long-term in the account. So when we first take on an account, again, this is a routine thing we do. So in the beginning, we might have quite a few of these like long keywords. However, we find if we do this routinely, maybe our 30-day pull, we're only looking at maybe a handful of keywords, maybe one or two, sometimes none, because we've already taken care of it on the 14th day. So.
Yeah, and it's something that I was just smiling when you were mentioning, okay, for 7 days, like, especially with the Amazon glitch, like, late weeks, like, that. Oh, man, like, but everything was, like, messed up, you know, CPC, everything was messed up.
Yes.
So definitely, yeah, that's totally making sense of taking, like, for longer periods. Mm-hmm. All right, which type of new campaigns, because I also, like, as I was saying, I really watched all your videos, and which type of new campaigns can you start in Amazon? Because you were mentioning sponsored ads, sponsored brand, and sponsored display, it's not possible. So sponsored product and sponsored brand, you can you make those, both mm-hmm. of them? And how it looks like usually in the process?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So again, formatting is going to be really important here. You can build out the most for the sponsored product ads. Sponsored product ads, you can do virtually everything, providing you have the right data points. Category targeting is a little bit harder to do because you have to have the category code, which you can find, but it's kind of buried in Amazon. It's a whole thing. If you don't have a lot of these to launch, you might just launch them manually. Honestly, sometimes that's easier if you don't have everything aggregated. But you can do everything with sponsored products, which is absolutely wonderful. You can play with placement percentage adjustments, you can change your bidding strategies, all of it. Sponsored brands, you cannot do ASIN targeting, which is kind of obnoxious, especially when you go to adjust bids on your ASIN targeting inside of sponsored brands and you get errors. And so if you get those errors, I see a lot. So with knowing bulk files, formatting is really important, but then knowing what you can and cannot do, I find can save you a lot of trouble. Because for instance, I've had a lot of people contact me. I get some messages often about troubleshooting, helping people troubleshoot these files. And one of the common things is, you know, I'm having problems with my ASIN targeting, and the answer is, well, that's not even possible. So you might have spent hours trying to figure it out. No one has figured it out because you can't do it, unfortunately. And then also another thing is you cannot change the campaign names. I absolutely wish you could. It would make everyone's life so much easier, but you can't do that. You can't rename things, unfortunately. So don't even attempt it. You'll get errors. It's not going to work. But yeah, so most everything you can do, you can set up these campaigns again for sponsored product. You can virtually set up anything you can do inside of Campaign Manager. You can do inside of a bulk file, sponsored brands, most everything. You can actually launch sponsored brands video ads in bulk files, which is pretty cool. It allows you to do it at scale, providing you already have the video creative uploaded inside of Amazon. So you do have to have the creative reference, I forget what exactly it's called, but you have to have at least that thing in the video in the system to be able to reference that creative. However, providing, you know, you have that in the system, you can upload those. Sponsored brand ads, you can as well. Again, providing you have the logo uploaded somewhere in a sponsored brand ad. So if you want to roll out like all sponsored brand ads at scale, one thing you could do is you could just create at least one sponsored brand campaign manually just to make mm-hmm. sure the logo is in the system, and then you can then again pull from that and reference, which is nice.
That's really super time saving, and I also like on the time consuming side, because I wanted to add there, like we also are using like a lot of video ads, especially because they work really well, and not most people, like most people are not using them or not, mm-hmm. are not aware about them. So you are saying that also those are the ones that you can like create campaigns there as well. It just has to mm-hmm. be in the system, correct? My question there, like follow-up question would be like, if you're creating them, usually the process when you're doing them manually is that you're going to upload them and you have a waiting period. Mm-hmm. Also, it's here applicable, the waiting period, or it's going to go live?
Yeah, so typically it's the same waiting period. So the benefit is that you can do it at scale, which is nice. The other benefit, now that they're in bulk files, we can manage bids through bulk files, mm-hmm. which is amazing. It was the thing I was definitely most excited for when they finally rolled out video ads. And then I think I was one of the first ones to test to see if it was even possible to launch them in the bulk file, which turns out you are. So that mm-hmm. was pretty exciting to learn. The one thing with that is there's like a little kind of side hack. You have to have... I think it's the brand reference ID. Anyways, there's one data point that you need to have, where the only way to get that, from my knowledge, is to create a sponsored brand's draft. Mm-hmm. So if you go in and create a draft campaign with the sponsored brand ads, you can get access to that one data point you need to input. But other than that, yeah, it's just knowing the formatting. That's really what it comes down to with bulk files. And that's, I think, why there's such a big learning curve and it's so difficult, or some people find it difficult. Just know that it doesn't have to be an all or nothing. You can just use bulk files to adjust bids. Sometimes if you're doing it in Campaign Manager and you find it's nearly impossible to scale with your account, is taking up way too much time. Just downloading the bulk file, going through the bids, even just line by line, will be quicker than doing it inside of Campaign Manager. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't have, you don't have to learn how to launch everything today or yesterday, and that's fine. But you know, you can start easing into it and start getting more familiar and more comfortable.
I approve that message. I'm the test rabbit or test rat, whatever, it works. Okay, so we were just talking about formatting. That follows, that brings up a few questions. Which are the fields that you shouldn't touch? Which are the fields that can be edited, first off? And also, it was mentioned about errors. Which type of errors are allowed? And which are, you have to fix that, otherwise it's not working, the campaign.
To be honest, I don't remember the exact error codes. I haven't memorized those yet.
You don't have to.
Probably eventually, because I get enough of them. The one amazing thing now that Amazon updated, so it used to be that if you got an error code, when you go to re-upload the file, you will see the file and it'll just say like all of your rows went through, or it'll just get some errors in some rows. Some errors will be because you did something wrong. So for instance, I had an error code the other day and one of my clients was like, hey, did you, because they've been using something, been looking at the bulk files, and they asked, oh, we had the error code. Well, it turns out it was my issue. I accidentally duplicated a keyword. And as you know, if you go inside of Campaign Manager, if you try and add the same keyword with the same match type, it's not going to go through. So it doesn't go through in the bulk file. I went and checked the errors, realized it was my mistake, but the keywords didn't get added anyway. So it was perfectly fine to leave that error. I didn't have to do any updates to that. There are certain times where if you have an error, like say when you go to create the campaign, so on your campaign row, your ad group row, or like when you go to add the products, errors on those levels can cause like the entire campaign to not go through. So those would be ones you definitely would want to troubleshoot. But like I was saying before, one of the things is you can actually download an error report. And what they used to give you with the error reports is they will give you the exact rows that the errors occurred on, which is absolutely wonderful. But the problem was, first off, these were not in ascending or descending order. I'm not even sure what the logic was. You would have to go through, you would want to sort to find like your top row, where are the errors? You would have to go look at your original file, and then you would have to like, okay, so where's this row? And you'd have to troubleshoot it. Well, now what they do is when inside the error report, you will have a tab that shows the rows with the errors, but they also include a tab that shows the exact rows and you have the errors on, and they will give you that error, you know, what it is row by row, which is nice. Then we don't have to aggregate it with the other reports. So that's been very helpful for troubleshooting. So if you get an error, just know what happens to the best of us, and it's not abnormal. Just download the error report, take a look at the rows. You should get a general idea on what it was. So 9 times out of 10, you know, the two errors will be one that's not even possible, like if you tried to rename a campaign or an ad group or something, or two, the formatting is just off. You forgot a cell, you forgot, you know, to add a certain data point, you went to create the campaign, you forgot to include what the budget was, things like that. Again, happens to the best of us. And, you know, just go back, fix it, try and re-upload the file. Don't be surprised if in the beginning, you know, you troubleshoot it and you fix one error and you re-upload it again and you miss the other one and you're like, no, I have to do it again. Again, it happens to the best of us and you'll be fine, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
Just work through it, figure it out. Definitely. And that's how you learn.
Yeah, this and also like something just to add there, like what or how I learned this, like because it's sponsored products, sponsored brand, and sponsored display. We also had like sponsored brand campaigns, you mm-hmm. know, and it was like, okay, just to make sure that everything is working fine, I'm doing only sponsored products now. Okay, I uploaded, mm-hmm. everything went through. Okay, great. Let's go to the other one.
Yeah.
So it's a learning curve, what I'm trying to say, like, because as I was saying, for me personally, it was like, oh, what am I doing? What did, like, and especially like error code, like 200-300 error code. And I'm like, what have I done, you know? So it's like totally.
Yes. Yes. Love it. Yes. I have that all the time, or you go to paste the campaign and the date formatting is weird, so you have to change the date. All happens. Kinds of weird things like that, you know. So again, formatting is yeah. important.
Yeah, most definitely formatting, as you were saying. And I think the follow-up question would be, like, I also, like, ask about the fields. What are the most helpful formulas or strategies or something that even a beginner can use to make correct optimization?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think the most helpful thing in bulk files is not even really going to be a formula, so it should be easy for a beginner, is the ability to sort and filter things. Mm-hmm. Is absolutely phenomenal. So that's one beautiful thing about bulk files. And then one thing you should really familiarize yourself with, I want to say it is column B, record type. Or if I got the column wrong, it's called the header, it's called the record type. That will show you what level you're looking at inside of the bulk file. So remember I said it's like a 2D version, it's a flat version. You still have things like everything at the campaign level, you have everything at the ad group level, and you have everything at the ad, which is the product level, and then you have everything in the keyword or product targeting. Keywords are your keywords, you know, exact phrase and broad, and then the product targeting is the ASINs and then the automatics. So if you look in column B, which will be your record type, you will see campaign, it'll say ad group, ad, or keyword, or product targeting. And so by understanding that, that's the indicator for what that row contains. So if you apply a filter to your bulk sheet and you go over to record type and you sort to only see your keywords and you sort to only see your product targeting, that will give you all of the keywords, all of the product targeting across your entire account, which is absolutely phenomenal. Again, in the sponsored brands tab, there's only keywords, there's no product targeting. So being able to filter that, and then, so if I condense everything to only look at my keywords, I can now go to my other columns, like my ACoS column, my clicks column, my spend column, my sales column, and you can quickly, just by sorting by ascending or descending, you can figure out, okay, so what's bringing in the most sales across my entire account, which keyword, all my campaigns, all my products brought me the most sales, what keyword across all of my campaigns, my entire ad account brought me did I spend the most on? Am I spending the most on my auto? Maybe you sort that and all of a sudden you realize you're spending more through the autos, you know, than any of your other top keywords. Yeah, that's something to look into. So just being able to quickly dissect things, I think is, yes, it's very helpful to optimize and manage things at scale, but just being able to dissect and understand the account, I think is really, really beneficial.
Yeah, definitely. No, so as you were saying, like, to dissect and to clearly see what's going on, because most of the time, especially when you have like a lot of campaigns, you know, you get very overwhelmed and it's like a lot of data, mm-hmm. and you have no clue what to do, you know? I mean, you have clue what to do, but it's still like, mm-hmm. I really don't want to do this. So that definitely is just like filtering out everything. And it's like, it's funny because just to add a short like backstory there, when I first started like also understanding what bulk files are and everything, you know, it took me like, I don't know, 2 hours, maybe 3 hours until you figure out everything. Then it's less, it's less, it's less, it's less. And as you were saying, this really optimizes your time. Super optimized, super quick, super, you know, everything what you have to do, which is like, I love and appreciate about your videos. You're making, you have a talent of making things super simple, you know? And
oh,
I think,
thank you. Yeah, hopefully. I hope so. That's my intent.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And I think that's something that is missing most of the time. Or things are made super complicated, you know, and you find yourself like, I don't know, I would rather, like, I would rather do something else. And this is also a very important part of your business, right? Understanding where you spend, how to spend, and how much you spend, right? In order to scale.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah, I think that's, even when you're looking at a campaign manager, I know one thing is to, or I've had a lot of clients comment that, you know, maybe the ACoS on the campaign is too high, but if you have 50 keywords in your campaign, well, the ACoS is too high. That's definitely something you need to take care of, but you might not necessarily want to just go and pause that campaign. Because if you have 50 keywords, most likely what's happening is one of those keywords has a lot of spend, is getting it unprofitably. But I want to say 9 times out of 10, at least 8 times out of 10, when I go and into that campaign, inside campaign manager to troubleshoot, you find you might have a couple other keywords that are performing phenomenally. And if you were to pause that campaign just because you don't have time to deal with it, I see that a lot of times, especially people with like optimization fatigue, is you'll go say, okay, these are my top 100, or these are my top campaigns that are spending, you know, maybe the ACoS is absolutely bananas, you know, 400%, 500%, absolutely crazy. Yes, go in and pause those keywords that are causing that poor performance. But oftentimes you throw the baby out with the bathwater if you're looking at everything from a campaign level. So I always say campaign level performance is, it shows you where to look, but it doesn't necessarily tell you what you need to do about it. And so one of the, you know, the base levels to actually do something about that is a keyword level. And by being able to sort everything quickly in a bulk file, and then not only sort, but then physically go and make those changes to the keyword bids, or even pause. You can pause keywords in a bulk file as well. So to be able to make those changes quickly, re-upload them, instead of saying, okay, like with a report, reports are wonderful. Don't get me wrong. We look at reports all day long. But if you download a report, you can't necessarily make the necessary changes in the report. Whereas a bulk file, if you see something, fix it, upload it. And you don't have to pull anything else or go in and do anything else about it.
Yeah, definitely. I love that you mentioned that. I know that also, like, I think this is something like typically, like, I don't know if it's newbie or it's panic attack, but, you know, 200 ACoS, 300 ACoS, like, pause it, you know? And I just, like, the other day, I just went through a few of the campaigns that I paused them. And then I say, holy crap, like, I had 3% ACoS, why did I post this campaign, you know? The other one, truly, it was like 200 or 300, whatever, like, what have I done, you know? But yeah, definitely, I love the points that you're making are really, really good. Getting back to what things can be changed and what things cannot be changed. You were mentioning that you cannot change names of the campaigns. What else cannot be changed in this scenario?
I want to say that's it. I think actually when it comes to sponsored products, sponsored brands, of course, if you are doing ASIN targeting and sponsored brands, unfortunately you can't do those. I keep checking just to see if you can, but you can. But yeah, so you can change your, you can change your bids. You can pause, you can unpause things. You can adjust bidding strategy. You can adjust your placement percentage adjustments. One note on those, they're very finicky, and that, again, formatting. When you change a percentage adjustment, you have to have it formatted as a text value. It can't be a number, which is very weird. One hack to figure out if it's a text value or if it's a number value. If it's a text value, it is aligned to the left-hand side. If it is a number value, it will align to the right-hand side. So if you see something, you make sure it's aligned to the left in your formatting. But yes, you can change the percentage adjustments just fine. Again, it comes back to knowing where, like what rows and what columns to make the changes in. But as long as you know that, virtually anything can be changed. And that's one of the benefits of looking at a full bulk file. Which just means that a full bulk file is just one that you've downloaded. So Amazon's already put the data in there to make changes. You can take the formatting, like when you go and create a new campaign or something, you can just use a blank spreadsheet. As long as you know what everything, you know, what everything needs to look like, you can create it blank. But if you kind of want to understand like, okay, so where do I put this? For instance, there are three, status columns. So there's a status column for your campaign, for your ad group, and then for your keyword slash product, they're actually in the same. It's the far right column that says status. But for instance, if you have this particular keyword, you're like, oh my goodness, my cost is absolutely out of control. The spend is obviously not working for me. Inside of that status column, instead of, you'll see it says enabled, you just put paused. Instead of enabled, re-upload the file. And then those changes will be made. So that's really, you know, that's nice. And I think sponsored products, of course, is the most built out. It's the most built out in Campaign Manager. It's the most built out in bulk files.
Yeah, and I think that's also like most used. This is why, mm-hmm. like, that's why they are so invested a lot of time on that. Have you also noticed, for example, what I know from the campaigns, when you started them, you weren't organized. And if you're not organized from the beginning, it's like, holy shit, you know, like what's happening, you know? Can you also do like, can you add portfolios, like for example, you have a campaign, can you add it to a different portfolio or can you do those changes as well?
Yes, you can. You can actually create portfolios with the bulk file. Again, you need to know the formatting. And then the one kind of annoying piece is that when you create a portfolio via bulk file, you have to have a monthly budget on it. That is the only way that it will go through, and you cannot, you can't change it to having no budget, which I found is annoying. So basically I go and create like 20 of them and then I just have my VA, hey, go fix these for me, honestly. But so it is nice. If you only have one or two portfolios to create, you might as well just create that by hand. Again, it's kind of annoying what's going to be the best use of your time. Sometimes if it's one or two things, one or two campaigns to launch, you might as well just go use Campaign Manager. But if you have a lot to do, probably bulk files your best bet. But yes, so there is at the campaign level, there is a column that says portfolio ID. The only way you will get the portfolio ID is if you download a full bulk file. So the first page inside, or the first spreadsheet tab, inside of a bulk file, it says portfolio. So you'll see the names of your portfolios and then you will see your portfolio IDs at, in another column. So if, for instance, I have a list of my campaigns and then I would like to add them to that portfolio, what you can do is you can filter to find you need the record ID or record type to say campaign. So knowing that this is going to be applied at my campaign level. And then just pick and choose which ones you want, copy and paste those into a new spreadsheet. And then you can take whatever record ID, you know, number is associated with whatever portfolio you want to, you can place, you could just copy and paste that into the portfolio ID column along all of those rows that contain the campaigns, re-upload that and it will put them in the portfolio. So
Brilliant.
Plenty of things that can be done.
By the way, I appreciate the golden nugget. I had no clue that you actually have to have a budget, like a daily budget, because like I got errors and I'm like, why? Okay, so that was a trick. Good to know. Yes. Good to know. Great to know. Elizabeth, to be super respectful of your time, first off, are there any questions that I should have asked and I haven't?
I don't think so. I probably will think of one or two after we're done. But I don't know. I think you've covered most everything.
We can have a second take too, so I'm fine with that. Yeah, amazing. So before wrapping up, three questions that I love to ask my guests. First off, it's like, what is your best under $50 purchase or investment you recently made in that helped you like understand better PPC, like learn more and like get better skills?
Yeah, so best under $50 purchase. Well, I just recently purchased, and I'm going to botch the name because I don't remember. I just got access for us and our team to the recent PPC summit. So I've been going through those. And, you know, I think all of us who've been in the PPC game a long time, I think we know, you know, it's like, all right, we kind of know what to do. We have our systems, but I think I try and be just constantly consuming everyone's content on Amazon in general, but then of course specifically when it comes to what we do, because you know, you never know. You can learn things. You know, I think when you think that you know it all is probably the time when you know everything the least. So just trying to keep up with that.
Agree, definitely. Do you have 3 books that are your favorite and why do you love them?
Goodness, 3.
Yeah.
I probably have 1 or 2.
These are
I'm not as much of an avid reader as I would like to be. I aspire to be one, but I get pretty busy. I have 6 kids. So when I'm done with this, it's switched gears and anyways, but
become a superwoman, you mean? Okay. Go on.
I think one of my favorite ones, and I think it's a classic, is of course How to Make Friends and Influence People is a good one. I like that one because I aspire to be someone, or at least in my communications, who will like communicate things well. And I think my intent is always good, but I know I'm not as good as communicating my goodwill and intent. Sometimes it doesn't come across as well, if I'm being honest. So that, I think that was a really good book. And then, I mean, Daily Readers, to be honest, I think the Bible is a good resource. Proverbs is the wealth of knowledge. So one, you know, that I think, again, it just keeps you grounded. And then another one, now I'm going to blank on the title. It was a good one I read recently. I think it's called It Takes What It Takes. And I don't have the book in front of me, and I'm terrible at remembering authors' names. But it was a really good book on not so much positive thinking. The author called it neutral thinking, which is kind of interesting. And I think it's what a lot of people who preach positive thinking, their intent is. He just explained it in a way that I found really intriguing. And so the premise of the book is sometimes when we aspire to think positively, our subconscious knows we're full of crap, you know, like, oh, yeah, it's going to be a great day. And it wasn't a good day. And so the intent of the book was thinking on acknowledging the reality of the situation, but then not allowing the negativity to cloud that, and more of a positive ongoing. So it technically kind of falls in line of positive thinking, but it's kind of an interesting perspective on how to see things. So I think that was one of the most recent ones that I read.
Love it. I love that. I have to read it. It Takes What It Takes, or how it's called?
I think that's what it's called.
Okay. I'm going to
check it out. I probably got that wrong, if I'm being honest. And it's on my bookshelf somewhere else.
It will be like, you know, Google search. Book about
neural thinking. I'll just tell you, and you can put it in the notes, like, she was wrong. It was wrong. This is what it was.
It's fine. I'm trying to think very neutral, so she wasn't wrong. I love it. And the last question is, how can people say hi? How can they get a hold of you? How can they like check out your services?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you're just interested in seeing content I put out, I'm trying to be better about putting out content on LinkedIn. I'm on Facebook, pretty active. And then of course, if you want to learn about book files, we have a lot of content on our YouTube channel. So it's definitely a place to check us out. If you are interested in services, the best way to reach out would be the website, which is junglr.com. There's an intake form at the bottom. You fill that out and then get in touch with us and we'll see how we can help.
Yeah, amazing. So your YouTube channel is also called Jungler. So for whoever it's interested, yeah, because I found it super, super helpful. All right. Well, it was a pleasure having you on the show. And I certainly hope that you'll be back because you've shared a lot of knowledge in very, like, usually I'm trying to have the episode like less than 30 minutes, but I don't manage. So today's episode was super compressed. A lot of information. It's under 36 minutes. And we're still going just a bit. So it's amazing. thank awesome. You once again. And yeah, to everyone who's listening to us, thank you so much for listening. And I'm sure that you also see the value of whatever, like all the amazing information Elizabeth was sharing with us. And yeah, see you next week. I'm talking too much. See you next Monday. All right. Much love. See you next Monday.
It was fun sharing this episode with you. If you found value in what you've heard, please show your love with a subscribe, rate, and review of the show. Until next time.